right away, because the Bible says that God exalts the humble, right? But humbles the proud. And so we have to be really careful with the glory of God because it can kill us. The Israelites found that out the hard way. You see, they wandered through the desert carrying something called the Ark of the Testimony or the Ark of the Covenant. And they were supposed to sit down and rest. And Deuteronomy, what is it? Leviticus 19, don't turn. It says that whenever the glory cloud rested, they rested. And whenever it lifted up, they followed. And it was a pillar of fire. And I talked about this earlier. And a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it was glorious. But you know what happened a lot of times? While they were carrying the glory, snakes would come and bite them and kill them. Holes would open up in the ground and swallow them. There was all kinds of things that happened in the desert to the Israelites because the anger of God would break out against them for different reasons. They cried to God in the wilderness for meat, for quail. And the quail came and they ate it. And it says the Lord was upset because they didn't like the manna. And anyways, it ended up coming out of their nose and there was a big plague and a lot of them died because they were carrying the glory of God. They were through the desert place. And so we have to be very careful. That's why God doesn't always give us all the glory we want. God, give me more glory. And God's like, okay, but first I got to show you how to carry it. Because if you don't carry it properly, it'll kill you. So, you know, praise the Lord you didn't get that breakthrough sometimes. Praise the Lord you didn't get that favor sometimes. Because maybe, just maybe, we couldn't handle it. And the Lord knew it would kill us, so he held it back because of his mercy. Because of his grace. You know? Because God is a good God. He's patient. He's loving. He's kind. He's merciful. Slow to anger. So, let's turn to our scripture, because we're going to talk more about carrying the glory. 2 Samuel chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Bethel, Judah, to bring back the ark of God, who is called by its name, the Lord God of hosts, who dwelleth between the cherubim and the cherubim. So they set the ark on a new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Ugh. Pastor Doug used to always correct me on reading these Bible names, and I used to say, what's the difference? Now I know the difference. I'll just say it the way that I read it. He's never going to know. Actually, he might know. He's a great cloud of witnesses in heaven. So, sorry, a bit of bad. If I'm mashing up your name. Abinadab actually had the Ark of the Covenant inside his house, and he had two sons, Uzzah and Aho. And they drove it on a new cart, and they brought it out of his house, and it was on a hill accompanying. And they went out before the ark. And David and all of the house of Israel played music of all kinds of instruments, of fir and wood, harps and stringed instruments and timbrels. And they came to the threshing floor. And Uzzah, the man who'd actually lived with the Ark of the Covenant, who was familiar with the glory of God, stretched out his hand to steady the ark. I've been around this thing a long time. I know the ark. It's my friend. Nice ark. You know what happens? boom, he kills him. King David, the man who slays tens of thousands, the man who goes, I don't know about you, but if there's 10,000 people with swords trying to kill me, I tend to run the other way. But King David doesn't. He runs at them because he knows that the Lord is with him. God slayed Goliath and God will slay these Philistines, I guess it was his thinking. And he kills them all. Him and his mighty men. It says David was afraid. And David is not a man to be afraid of very many things. You know, when there's a guy coming at you, you're a skinny teenager with six fingers and six toes, and he's 7 foot tall, and he's like this, and he's got armor, and he says, I'm going to kill you. And David says, you know, the Lord rescued me from the bear, and I killed it. And the Lord rescued me from the lion, and I killed it. I'm going to kill you. When David's afraid, you should take notice. And it says, David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak. And David was afraid, in verse 9, that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Isn't that amazing? David is a man who lives for the glory of God, who worked and worshipped inside the glory of God, who just a couple verses before that, the Lord had actually helped him defeat all of Israel's enemies and fulfill the prophecies upon his life. He's afraid. Of the glory of God. Because he's not sure exactly how to carry it. And he knows that if he doesn't carry it right, it could kill him. And I really think that the last 3 years that we've been through in this church, the Lord actually cautioned me to be afraid of carrying the glory of God. Because if I didn't carry it right, it would kill me. If we didn't carry it right, it would kill us as a church. Yeah. I know God is good and God is love. Love is just as strong as it is soft. It is. 4 out of 10, or is it 4 or 5 out of 10 murders are love related? You know, there isn't any mountain high enough. Love is a very powerful thing. And so, you know, that's why they say in the Bible that when you have the spirit of might and power, the Lord will always send a spirit of wisdom or revelation. The two don't go without hand in hand, or else there could be problems. So, don't worry, I'm not dropping a heavy on you guys. I got good news. I got good news for us, don't worry. It's going to get better. So, David's afraid. You know, the guy who slays 10,000 people and takes out bears, lions, and Goliaths. And so he puts the ark at... Here we go again. Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And Obed-Edom has the ark at his house, and God blesses his house and everything that happens. He's getting checks in the mail. He's getting raises and bonuses. He's finding money. He's getting the breakthrough in his ministry or in his job. There's just favor everywhere. And David, he's looking down at that, and he's like, wow, I'm hearing lots of stories about that Obed-Edom. You know, he's got the $5,000 watch, and the Lord bought him a house. You know, he's got the breakthrough. The Lord just gave him a new job downtown for this major corporation. He's running Europe right now. And soon he's going to have, they're moving a new building and they're going to give him this big giant office. Woohoo! Yeah. Favor of God is good. It's a good thing. As much as it is a scary thing. You know, that's the way it works with things with power. You can have like a Ferrari is a really good thing, but you got to know how to drive it. Because if you don't know how to drive a Ferrari, it'll kill you. They actually, when you get a Ferrari, you're supposed to take lessons on how to drive properly. And you're only allowed to buy certain Ferraris. There's entry-level Ferraris, and then there's Ferraris for people who know how to drive Ferraris. You can't get an Enzo or a Ferrari F1 without owning like a Spider first. Did you know that? You can't get one. Anyways, I love cars, so I know that. But yeah, you can't get one unless you already own one. And you've proven that you can take care of it because they won't give it to you because they're afraid that it'll kill you. Yeah. Well, God's the same way. If you're not faithful in the little thing, God will not graduate you to the bigger thing. Because he knows it'll burn you out and kill you. Even though it is a great thing. But Midtown, I got good news. We have been faithful in the little thing. And God will for surely graduate us to the bigger thing. As sure as my name is Jay. So, but he had to do a little bit of research, this David. A little bit of study. And he figured out that you don't put the ark on a cart. And he figured out that you need Levites to carry that ark. If anybody else touches it, well. Did you know the ark was also known? There was a bunch of people carrying it one time. And somebody decided to open up the box. And it's a theological debate to how many people it killed. But it killed somewhere between 300 and 10,000 people. Yeah. Between 50 and 50,000. Yeah, that's what they teach in Bible college. Nobody really knows exactly the number. I don't know, 50, 50,000 people. Who cares? There's lots of people. I ain't going near that unless, you know. So, anyways, let's think about Ferraris and good things. So he decided, okay, so this time, you know, we're just reading along in our paragraph, right? We're going 2 Samuel 7, 6 to 14. And so he decides this time, you know, he gets Levites to carry the ark. And he goes before the ark wearing nothing but a linen ephod, which was a humble thing to wear. It was the garment of a priest. And it says that every six steps with the ark, they would give a sacrifice out of respect for the glory of God. So that it wouldn't kill anybody. Yeah. And you know, every six steps, there would be a sacrifice so that it wouldn't kill anybody. And he danced beside it and says, the whole nation had joy. And they're handing out raisin cakes and and honey and food, and they were celebrating. Sure. Right. It's intoxicating. Okay. The Bible says that you have to be careful with the glory of God. The world says, basically, the holiness of God. The world says that power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Have anybody ever heard that? Right? You know what my friend once said to me? A good friend of mine, he's a union guy, he's a chair of our union, a wise guy, he said, Jay, be careful with all the success that you're having in your life, because success tends to make people think that they're better than what they are. And it causes them to make mistakes. That's what my friend said to me. He said, when you're successful, that's when you need to be the most careful. And this guy is a good friend of mine, and he's a guy that I would consider to be a wise man in a lot of respects. And so the glory tends to make people dumb. Look at the kings of the Bible. Many of the kings of the Bible failed miserably because they didn't know how to carry the glory. King Saul was another example of a man who had the glory of God upon him, but failed miserably because he didn't know how to carry it. And the glory of God is coming to Midtown. It's here, but it's going to increase. And God wants to prepare us, has been preparing us for 3 years to carry it. So they wouldn't kill us. He's actually been taking people out of here who couldn't handle it. And he's been telling me that for 3 years. And I've been like, God, stop taking people out. And God's been like, if I don't take them out, then I can't put in the glory. Because I love those people and I don't want to see them hurt. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Like, still, the mantra for me will still be partner with me in doing the good thing, and we'll have an impact on this community. I'm sure of it. But because of the fact that we're doing the will of God, the glory will go before us. I've seen tastes of it. Like, we gave money to the Pregnancy Care Center, and the Lord multiplied it 3 times. Double, double, double. People just kept doubling it. And the Lord said, that's a sign to you, because what's going to happen is everything you touch, I'm going to start doubling and tripling and increasing and multiplying. I was like, yes, yes, yes. He told me, prepare us to carry this glory. Now, ha. See, David had learned to be humble inside of the glory so it didn't kill him. So we're going to learn to be humble, because, you know, when you're traveling on the road of God, there's two places you can be in. You can be in the two ditches, either pride or sin. But there's a way that's better than pride and sin. It's the middle way. David knew this way very well. It's called praise. It's called praise. Praise is when you strip yourself of your crown and your royal robes and you put on the ephod. Linen ephod. Some say he just didn't wear anything. He just had a loincloth. And you walk before that glory. And you say, it's not so much what I've done for Jesus, but it's what Jesus has done for me. As Joseph was talking about the testimony, it's not so much what I've done for Jesus, but what Jesus has done for me. That's when the glory begins to move forward and increase as we humble ourselves before our God. That's why Jesus said we have to take up our cross and follow him daily. Because you can't, I've said it over and over again, you can't experience the resurrection unless you're willing to endure the cross inside your life. Because what God is going to do is he's going to crucify everything inside of your life that hinders his glory from shining through you. It's like a dirty glass. Or say that light there. That was the only light in the room and it was dirty. But it doesn't matter how bright we shine that light, it won't shine through. But when the glass is cleaned and the light turns on, it'll fill the whole room. Does that make sense? Good. Okay. Moving right along. And so God will actually use the sacrifices that you make within your life for God's glory because of praise or through actions. Actions can be a louder praise than actually words. The Lord told me that one time. He said, if you really want to praise me, do my will. Love your neighbor. Let that person move in with you and not pay your rent. Buy popsicles for people and listen to their problems and pray for them. Just little things the Lord has told me. Hold doors. Let the person have the good forklift. Just things like that. The Lord has said that's the loudest praise. Because not only does heaven hear it, but people really hear that praise. Sometimes they hear that praise more louder than if you shout it at the top of your lungs. Did you know that? Now, you can turn if you want. I'll give you the verse, but I'm running out of time. So, oh, what was it? Where was it? Oh, yeah. Exodus 37:1. See, I'm going to talk to you about how the Ark of the Covenant was made. Does anybody know about the Ark of the Covenant? That's good. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant was made in the desert out of this wood called acacia wood. Does anybody know what an acacia tree is? An acacia tree is one of the most inhospitable a tree that grows in one of the most inhospitable environments there is. And this tree, for lack of a better word, is full of fear because, you see, it's a gnarled up, twisted old tree with giant spikes on it, with giant thorns. Because if it wasn't gnarled up, a twisted and dried up tree with big thorns on it, animals would eat it. And that's much like us in sin. We're all gnarled up and twisted and we have giant thorns. We're prickly. Right? But God looks at that tree and he doesn't see it for what it is, but he sees it for what it can be. And so he says, you know, chop down that tree, straighten out some boards out of it because I'm going to make an ark out of it. I'm going to overlay it with gold or my glory. I'm going to overlay it with gold. And I'm going to put something in it. And if you read the heading on that verse, Exodus 37, it says, the Ark was, in many places, isn't actually called the Ark of the Covenant. You know what it's called? The Ark of the Testimony. Did you know that each one of us carries a testimony? of the goodness of God within our lives, and a covenant because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Huh. We really are meant to be carriers of His glory. Many, many preachers have said over and over again that the ark is actually our hearts. Especially John Wesley and Whitfield. It's true. So if you're today, you don't know Jesus Christ, and you feel like that tree that's filled with fear and lots of spikes, I'm going to tell you now, God wants to cover you with gold. He wants to straighten out the twisted, knotty things inside your life and take down your spikes. And He wants to cover you with gold and fill you with testimonies. How do we carry that testimony? Because really that testimony is the testimony of the love of God for us inside of our lives. It's great. It works. That testimony works. I can tell you story after story after story. My favorite story of the testimony of God, for a while at my work, people used to use the Lord's name in vain. And I used to get mad. So they thought it was a joke, so they would do it more. Ever had that happen? And I would be begging them. I would say stuff like, you know what? Jesus was beaten beyond recognition for my sins. I don't insult your mother. Don't insult my father. And I was pleading, but this one guy would not stop. And so one day, I dropped my Bible, and he said, I'll pick it up and I'll read it. He picked it up and read it, and something about in the Old Testament said, do not curse the Lord, name of the Lord, for the Lord will take vengeance on you. He's carrying the glory. Whoa, he said, that thing really does work. He closed it real fast and handed it to me. And I didn't hear the name Jesus all day. Another guy was really persistent about it. Good guy. His mom's a preacher, actually. Got in a really bad car accident. And didn't come back to work for 6 months. But after that, you know what he said to me? He said, yep, I'm a humbled man now. And I'm not going to curse God or do anything like that again. And the Lord actually chastened him. In mercy, the Lord helped him save his house and stuff like that because he had a lot of financial problems. He didn't take the warning. You know, but what happened was people at my work all heard what happened. And nobody took the Lord's name in vain. Because the glory of God, because of the testimony that I gave. And you see, this is what's happening right now. Right now, Midtown as a church is testifying of the goodness of God in people's lives inside of the church because of the prayer networks and all that stuff, and outside of the church because of the pregnancy care center. And what happens is there's a witness that comes. And that witness is the glory of God increasing within our services. This is going to be the hot spot. Yeah, it's true. And so, if you want to carry the glory of God, you have to learn to offer yourselves, it says here, in Romans 12. Therefore, brethren, mercies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for reasonable service. There's going to be a price to pay. And everybody here who comes to our church knows that there's a price to pay and is willing to pay it to get into God's glory. And I'm very proud of you guys. I'm really proud of you guys. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know the perfect will of God, which is good and acceptable. What does that mean? And what does that have to do with carrying the glory? Anybody want to know? Simple. When you carry the glory, you carry a testimony about God's love. And it's all about what He's done inside of your life. And the glory of God comes upon you. And you begin to walk forward toward the promised land. In God. Is that pretty clear? How do we do that? Well, Romans 12, verse 9. Let love without hypocrisy. Let your love be without hypocrisy. It's okay to fall and get back up, because then you just get another testimony of how good God is. I've had that, where I've sinned and I've gotten back up, and I said, wow. And I said, God, I can't face people after I've been talking about Jesus and I fell. And God said, yeah, you can. Now you have this much more reason to tell them how much God loves you and how much He forgave you and how it's so much not about you. See, the glory was killing me because I got into pride and I started judging people and then I got into sin. But then because of Jesus' sacrifice, which is why we can't do it without Him, He came and His blood came and He picked me back up. Which is why in the Bible it says in Hebrews 10, 11, 12, it says that we have a new covenant and the blood of Christ is covering us instead of the blood of goats and sheep. Okay, I hope this isn't too much for you. Ha. So, let your love be without hypocrisy. And I believe the hypocrisy in this case, hypocrisy is what I've done for God in order to get more of His glory. And that makes me better than you. No, that's hypocrisy. Humility is what God has done for me to make Himself, to make me better in my life. Everybody has a testimony. In my testimony, God delivered me from alcohol and drugs and cigarettes and gangs and all kinds of things to make me a better person. Because He loved me and He wanted to take me out of self-destruction. And I'm not any better than anybody else is. But that same love that God gave to me to make me better and stronger can be given out to other people. And sometimes God will call you to do that through sacrifices like Joseph's had, letting people stay at his house. Trevor Nazuska had, like, staying up all night prophesying over people and watching them break down in tears and praise God. Like Jill had, fighting with the church, but at the same time raising money to help pregnancy care center women and driving out and seeing their faces light up even though she took the time out of her really, really busy schedule and family. Sometimes Kevin, he does it by being faithful to help us set up day after day after Sunday after Sunday and watching the glory roll in, and he makes that sacrifice and God honors it. Because we're a really, really small church that impacts Japan, Africa. I think that we have quite South Africa too, because we have Nico and Rika out there. Israel. And Toronto. And TACF in a massive way. Because there's people here who are willing to walk forward carrying the glory of God, making that sacrifice every six steps. And they're willing to take off their robes and dress in that ephod and minister to other people as God has ministered to them. And so they walk in love without hypocrisy and arbitrary, not liking what is evil, but clinging to what is good, being kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love. I know that happens because I see how much we love the times out there when we have fellowship with one another and how much fun people have when they actually go out and do the stuff as a church. Not lagging in diligence, but in fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope, and patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to one another's needs of the saints, and giving hospitality. Sound like Midtown? Yeah. God is preparing us to carry the glory. Being of the same mind and word to one another. Setting our mind on high things, but associating with the humble. And not being wise in our own opinion, not repaying evil for evil, but having regard for the good things inside of people. And it goes on and on. And that's how we carry the glory. You know why? Because I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Ah, it's good news. Some people in here might be weary of doing good, but keep doing it because I'm telling you now, the glory of the Lord is going before you and it's going to increase. Because God is pleased. Because he's turning us into, says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 2, you see, we have a testimony. We have an epistle that is written on our hearts, and it's read by all men. And clearly we are an epistle of Christ, ministered to us, written not by ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but it's written on your hearts. Yeah. It's in here. Some say in here. It's written on your hearts. You become that testimony, and I'm encouraging us to carry the glory of God, to keep carrying the glory of God, and keep making those sacrifices every six steps. Because if you don't, it could kill you as your shepherd. It could kill me too. It actually keeps us humble and keeps the ephod on us. And we might have to dance before the Lord as a fool. But I'd rather be like that than end up like Uzzah. It says right after that, that David, the Lord made a covenant with David and he told him that he was going to bless him and he was going to enable him to build his house or to prepare to build his house for his son and he was going to give him a legacy. And he's going to make him one of the most famous kings in all the world. And God started saying all this good stuff to him because he was so pleased with him. Does that make sense? Midtown, God is pleased with you. And if you're not part of Midtown, you should join. You know why? Because we're going forward in the glory of God. Partner with us. Hey, buddy. In doing the good work of the Lord, and we'll just wait for the Lord to give us the increase. And many people he has. And you will become a carrier of God's glory. Not of stones that are written on tablets, but it'll be actually written on your heart of a testimony. And in both of those chapters of Romans and Corinthians, it says that the Lord actually transforms us from glory to glory to glory to glory. You know why? Because we're going forward on the roads of praise and we're not getting in the ditch of sin or the ditch of pride. Amen. So who wants to do that? Who wants to keep going forward? Who wants to keep humbling themselves and dancing before the ark of God like King David? Because the glory will increase, and we will get into the promised land. So turn to your neighbor and give him a pat on the back and say, you're doing a good job. Woohoo! And Midtown is going to be and is the hot spot this summer. Ha! Hey, so practically, who would like to receive more of the glory of God? Okay. All we're going to do, because of time constraints, I was going to have people come to the front and pray for them. It's part of the glory of God because of promises of God. When you get a promise from God, it's an epistle that comes that's written on your heart, or a vision from God. And it could be for a ministry, it could be for a breakthrough, it could be for anything. It could be for a deliverance from a sin that you just can't stop doing. And it all depends on what level you're at in God. So put your hands out, and we're just going to ask God for an increase of his glory, an increase of his power. An increase of his of praise, of a testimony of the goodness of God. Ha! Keep pouring it out, Daddy. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. That we would be carriers of his glory. To Toronto and the ends of his earth. That his love would compel us to go out and do prophetic presbytery in our workplace and in our churches, to go out and say, God did this for me this weekend. God delivered me from alcohol. I had to say that this weekend.